This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. We had an exciting end of day. Oh, man. Little bugs. Little bugs that just sit there and wait. So, we're working on this brand new expense, paperless expense. Well, it's not really brand new. We've had pieces of it going now for years. But we are what I call the four horsemen. We have the four horsemen done now. And it's out to everybody. And we're going through all the kind of growing pains and all the education stuff. Because this stuff is being rolled out to over 2,000 individuals. Some of them are married couples. And you have people of all kinds of different skill levels when it comes to numbers and working with computers and all that sort of thing. And so obviously you're going to have some people that are going to be better than others. But in the process of that, it is being adopted. It is being used. We are moving up. You know, we just keep putting more and more money through it every month. Everything's great. So we have one little section where we're supposed to transfer money from the external systems that are gathering all the data to the internal systems where all the data has been crunched down and ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. And so there's a harvest that we do. Because there's a very specific way that everything gets through the firewall. So we don't just do that willy-nilly. We don't just open our firewall. You know, we keep our data protected on the inside. And you have to have special magic incantations to get anything pushed through, et cetera, et cetera. So, we, of course, on the table outside the firewall, have what's called an auto-incrementing ID, or an identity column, it's also called. And that just increments by one. And so, as we create new transactions, it just increments by one and everything's fine. Then we transfer that data over inside the firewall. And, you know, then it gets integrated in. Well, so I did all the harvesting. We're having another little problem where some things are timing out on us. And so I had shepherded it through that and gotten that taken care of. But so there was that handwork that I normally didn't do that I did this time. So I had that in the back of my mind. Well, as soon as I got, there's three phases of it. The third phase is the biggest one. I got the third phase done. And I was getting ready to write an email to everybody. And one of the financial specialists wrote and said, I can't get any of this certain type of thing transferred. And she showed me the error message. And I took a look at the error message and it said what the problem was, but I also knew what the problem was immediately. So in databases, they're data types. And in the olden days, when space was really at a premium, what we did is we declared the data type that would use the smallest amount of space for what we needed. So there is, in SQL Server, something called a small int. And a small int is 16 bits, I think, 16 bits. And that goes from negative 32,767 to 32,768, positive, because it's a power of 2. A regular int is actually 32 bits, and I don't actually have this one memorized, but it's up in the 2 billion range. negative $2 billion to positive $2 billion, somewhere in there. So when we're, you know, doing anything with IDs and stuff and incrementing IDs, you know, normally we'll just use an int because the chances are you are not going to create 2 billion records. That's a lot of records. Unless you're just churning them like crazy all day long, all day long, all day long. Certainly if you have some sort of a massive system where you're servicing billions of clients, you know, well, yes, you will get to 2 billion. But at the scale we operate at, yeah, 2 billion is fine. It's fine for an ID. So the problem was is that the programmer who handled the inside stuff, what I handed myself stuff off to, he's used to working with all these different data types, and for many things that he works on, we actually declare small ints. Because that was, in those days when we were building all those systems and stuff, you just got in the habit of doing it because it was less space, because 32,000 was perfectly fine for what he was doing. So embedded down in one of these little functions, there's a declaration of an ID that is small int, which means it will only go to 32,000 before it blows up. And my ints on my side are set for ints, which is 2 billion. So we've been going along just happy as a clam. And we've been doing transactions and we're happy as a clam. The programmer who handles the inside stuff actually goes home at 3:30. So he had gone home. I had harvested the stuff. And we're going along happy as a clam. Well, when that ID finally reached 32,769 and they tried to transfer some stuff, kaboom, it just blew up. Blew up in a weird way, though. And so it thought it was done, but it wasn't actually done. So I think the actual MFA transactions got transferred, but they didn't get, you know, potentially finished. So we're going to have to do a little cleanup tomorrow, which we can do. But there was only 12 accounts that there was a problem, because after one of the ladies tried it once, it blew up, stopped. Another lady tried a couple of more, and when they blew up, then she wrote me. And then I sent out a thing and said, okay, don't do anything for these, you know. And so anyways, a little excitement right there on the end as I'm trying to get out for the end of the week. In addition to that, I was planning on running by Hobby Lobby today because that has been an adventure. All right. Costume. Theoretically, I wanted to have the National Fairy Day costume done by June 1st because I've got to get back over to the Angel Wing costume, or Angel costume with the Angel Wings, the big mechanical Angel Wings. Got to get back over there. Because I have a lot to do on that, and now I'm within, whatever, 10 weeks, and I have a lot to do over there, so I gotta get back over there, and I can pare it down, and I'll probably will pare it down at this point, because the Fairy Day costume took a lot longer than I thought, but it's gonna be cool, and it'll be fine. Well, all I had left to do, as of Labor Day, all I had left to do was Angel Wings. That was it. I had a few little tweaky things to do. I took care of them on Memorial Day. Started Sunday night and into Memorial Day, and I was like, this is great, you know, because I don't have to start editing until June 1st on the books, and this is great, and I'm right on track. And so then about noon-ish, I think, on Memorial Day, maybe a little later than that, I started working on the wings, which I had a tutorial for how to do it. It looked pretty straightforward. I had all the supplies. Da, 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 da. So I did it and did the first wing, and I kind of looked at it and I was like, it's not great. The colors aren't great. I mean, the wing is fine, but the colors aren't great, and I need a little heavier wire and blah, 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 blah. That has started an adventure, and I'm still not through this adventure. I was actually going to swing by Hobby Lobby tonight and pick up a few more supplies, but I'm already running late now, and my beloved, I need to get home because we're actually having just a fellowship dinner for our small group. And typically I have a few things to help up my beloved, and I'm already leaving work late. So I was going to run by Hobby Lobby, but I thought, you know, if you run by Hobby Lobby, you are going to be like really late. That's not going to be good. So I'm just heading home now. It's 5:30-ish, and go home, so I'll be there in time to help my beloved a little bit, get ready for this thing, and then we'll go from there. I did a run into Walmart last night to try to get some more poster board. The thing of it is there's, to make these angel wing or fairy wings, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. You can hand cut out everything, or you can use a Cricut. And so what you do is you just download a pattern, and we found a really cool pattern, and it has veining in it. And then you just get some poster board, you cut it out, and, you know, then you cover that with the cellophane shrink wrap stuff. And then you get this, you know, kind of translucent fairy wing, and it's cool. It's cool. Didn't have the right size wire. I took the recommendations of what I was told, but it wasn't the right size wire. So that was a problem. Then second, I didn't like the color. I was originally using kind of a cream-colored poster board type stuff, and I got it cut in the Cricut fine, but, you know, once I got it against the purple film, which was really too light of a purple, it turned out being pink. So then I was trying to figure out a different color scheme, and then I decided, well, you really need to go with black veining, and so then I picked up some poster board from Hobby Lobby for the black veining, and it was a heavier poster board, but I had gotten a deep point cutter for the Cricut, and that was supposed to be able to cut that stuff, and it wouldn't cut it, and it's just been this comedy of errors. And then I went by Walmart and got some poster board from Walmart last night and tried to cut it, but it was only black on the top and the bottom, and it wasn't black in the middle, so when you cut it, it just ended up, you know, with a bunch of fraying stuff. And so then I went back to my original thing, and this is off, I can paint. It's just been one of those things. You know, that once I do it once and I'm successful, then from here on out, I'll be able to make fairy wings all day long. But, you know, just getting through this first time is... So it's the second, and I still haven't started editing book 17. I'm hoping to start that tomorrow, but I do have some cleanup work to do for these things that aired off yesterday. So maybe tomorrow afternoon, you know, we'll be able to do something there. We'll see. Because I suspect that the stuff we tried to insert is going to error off tonight, and we'll just have to delete those out. But I'll see what Rusty has to say tomorrow. Anyways, all is well. All is well. Still standing, so all is well. Finished up the first sprint on book 17. I ended up at like 82,000 words, which I hope to be at 85, so I was close. But the Fairy Day costume did take more time than anticipated, and so, you know, as long as I'm over 80,000, it's fine. But that seems to be going well. So I'm about halfway into the story, and I feel like I have most of the balls in the air at this point. I'm going to put some more balls in the air, and then, you know, about three quarters of the way through, you got to start catching the balls from a plot perspective. So that all seems to be going fine. Fairy Day costume is going fine. I just need some wings and maybe a headband. I think I am going to make a headband to tie a few design elements together. So I'll get that done. But all in all, God is good. God is so good. He's just good. So that's well. Writing is well. Costumes are fine. God is just so good. I am going to have to wrap this up quickly when I get it home because of the small group thing. But I came across a YouTube video that was actually a follow-up of a YouTube video that had been done multiple years ago. And I didn't realize that until I had gotten into it. Maybe not multiple years ago. Apparently, this YouTube channel aired a video last year in June 2020, and it was about the lying flat movement in China. And I was watching this video and I was like, wow, this is very interesting. And maybe this actually correlates to things that are going on here in the States as far as the job market goes. So in this video, they were saying that on June 8, 2020, they had aired an episode about lying flat movement that was gaining popularity among young people in China. And they said some of our viewers have asked for an update, and so they said they're going to look at this more in depth about lying flat, or I guess Tongping in Chinese, describes as a phenomenon among young people who, instead of striving for higher pay and social status in life, simply choose to lie down. They just lie down. And they give the bare minimum. So they don't buy houses, they don't buy cars. A lot of them don't fall in love or get married or have children. Instead, they work at low-paying jobs, or they don't work at all, and they maintain just enough to have a minimum standard of living. So the question is, of course, how did that get started in China? And they showed some video in March of 2021 that had been shot in Guangzhou, where out on the street, bosses are lining up with signs advertising that they're looking for workers in their garment factories, and they're pleading with people to get workers, but they can't get even anyone to like stop. And so even these people, they just wanted the lying flat people, they just want to do casual work. You know, they don't want to be committed to something. They just want to go work when they want to work, and then they just want to stop. And they showed the streets in this city in China, and it was amazing. All lined up on these streets were business owners pleading for people to come work. And it said, as a result, owners have to come out almost every day to recruit new people. And he said, this is in the video, they said it was not only happening in that one province, in the southern coastal areas of the industries, but in factories where it's low cost and low profit, offering low wages. The Chinese media had published an article describing the annual recruitment difficulties faced by many factories after the Chinese years. And they said everybody's struggling. So most people, according to this thing, trace all this back to about April 2021. Where a young man posted a post on the internet, and he described his lifestyle as lying flat for 2 years. So it's basically not working, only laboring occasionally, doing odd jobs, spending about $31 a month. And he concluded that lying flat is justice. So they said in May and June of last year, lying flat became a hotly debated lifestyle among young people. And the man who posted the original post was crowned as the master of lying flatism. So, he apparently, this young man had worked at like a chemical factory before and that kind of stuff, and he just, and then he worked as a security guard some other times, and he just got tired of it. And he just decided he was going to escape from reality. And so you've got this caught on. What's interesting to me about all of this is that, you know, there's these things they talk about, and you wonder, okay, how in the world do you... But then it comes out like, well, his family had this, you know, building, and he was staying there. It's like, oh, okay. So what he's doing is he's just freeloading. He's freeloading. He's old enough to go out and get a job and pay for his own way, that sort of thing. But, you know, if you can just lay down and someone will just pay for stuff for you, hey, there you go. So it has been very interesting. And they have they do talk about other factors in this video that might be contributing to this whole idea of lying flat. And they did talk in this video about how this may be spreading to other parts of the world. So they talk about the fact with the boom of internet video games, you know, that's consumed many of the younger generations, that this idea of lying flat has resonated greatly with the Chinese student population. Each year, students in China have to compete with millions of others for a spot at prestigious university. After graduating, they have to compete with millions of others for high-paying jobs. Lying flatism has also been embraced by many office workers who post cartoons and leave messages such as when lying flat leaks, such as, just a second, I gotta get my mail here in a second. Yeah, so they post cartoons about it because in China, apparently, in mainland China, the work ethic is called 996. And what that means, what that means for a work ethic is that you work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. So the work ethic in China is that you work 12-hour days and you work that 6 days a week, and you can do the math, that translates to 72-hour weeks. 72-hour weeks. And so you can imagine this idea of just being able to lie flat and not do all that is very appealing. There would be no question that would be very appealing. But, you know, you got to make some money somehow. So the thing about it is apparently in China, the high intensity of work is not rewarded in return, according to a report released by the Chinese real estate company on May 27th. Three Chinese cities with the highest, with house prices to income ratios are Beijing, Shanghai, and so. And it would take an average residential family 27 years without food and drink to afford a home. So, you know, that's a little bit of a problem. So not only do you have this huge work ethic of people working 72 hours a week, they're not making enough money that they can actually afford a home. So they did trace... you know, the different types of lying flat. They said there's basically four types. So the first type is a complete lie flat. They don't work. They don't receive government subsidies. Oh, they don't work and receive government subsidies, taking it online to complain about social injustice every day. The second type is semi-lying flat, where they work conscientiously but never consider finding a mate, and they spend most of their time doing things like playing video games or investing in a subwoofer project for their pleasure. The third type is slightly lying flat, They work hard to earn money and invest, capably and buy a car. If they feel liberal about the relationships, not committed, they're not committed. They don't advocate marriage, no children. The fourth type, lying flat, is actually couples who split everything 50-50 from house chores to money, living in a two-person world without any children or discussion. They said lying flat has spread to the U.S. as well. A senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute in New York writes in a Bloomberg article, upper middle class, well-educated young Americans are getting in on the protest movement started in China. She points out that Gen Z and millennials are leaving the workforce in record numbers, and it's due to high unemployment benefits and stimulus payment policies in addition to global pandemic, which essentially shut down the entire country. So you got people that are getting paid to stay at home. And it's interesting because they interview lying flat people, and they said that they're one of the persons that was interviewed used to be an editor of a famous Chinese publishing house. He believes that his daily work is a torment to him, and it's taken a toll on his body and mind. And he now runs a convenience store in Beijing using a hut in an alley left by his grandparents. And the article that talked to him is among a growing number of young professionals in China rejecting the traditional narrative of success in favor of a minimalist lifestyle. Similar stories often appear in Chinese media, such as a senior Tencent employee who decided to flee Shanghai with his wife and children in 2017. They went into the countryside. They bought 200 mu of land. I don't know what that is. There is, oh, just a second. I'm getting buzzed. This may be my beloved. Oh, nope. Both days. Okay, cool. I'll get back with him in a minute. Okay, so anyways, what's interesting is that China is not taking this lying flat, okay? So, China has decided that it's going to start enforcing things. And so it says on the video, it said, the CCP does not intend to leave young people in the class of lying flat alone. It has already expressed its strong dislike for it. The government needs a productive young workforce, which is especially important in dealing with an aging population, as the result of the official Chinese media has referred to lying flat as a threat to national stability and called it shameful. An online discussion of the lying flat movement has also been censored, as we mentioned earlier. This generation of young people has a different philosophy of that of their parent, and they do not want to be bound by the strict management of factories. Since November 2020, Chinese regulators have taken more than 50 actions at least once a week against sectors such as internet companies and the after-school training industry, platforms, video games, beauty and beauty care are one of the main reasons that most of the indices under purge. So the Chinese government is actually targeting industries as well. Our service industries, and Beijing hopes that the economic restructuring will drive the labor force to manufacturing factories as opposed to service industries, like beauty care, and thereby help the factories to lower their wage cost and stay afloat. The CCP believes that industries such as takeout and gaming have contributed to laziness and homestaying among the youth. The expansion of universities has created a large number of highly educated graduates without a job, and then the suppression of education and training industries will, to a certain effect, also divert some students to technical colleges needed in the manufacturing industries. In other words, the CCP is besieging young people trying to lie flat at every turn. Lying down in China is more of an attitude than a dream. So, while it sounded like this movement was going to gain a lot of steam and go a lot of places and do a lot of things, the fact of the matter is that China isn't going to deal with it like we're going to deal with it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. Because in the States, of course, we're not going to shut down industries. We're not going to force people back to work. But in China, we'll just see. At the end of the day, all of this is fascinating, and there's a fascinating balance here because just food for thought, honestly, Jesus, if you were to look at Jesus's lifestyle, he was probably pretty close. He was more close to lying flat than he is to our modern industrial lifestyle. And he certainly wasn't on the Chinese lifestyle of 9 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 9 to 9, 6 days a week, just working the factory. That is not what Jesus was about. They just went from place to place and things just worked out, which is really fascinating. And I've got to have an extended conversation about that at this point. At this point, though, I've got to go inside and help my beloved get ready for stuff. So have fun. I was going to say I love you, which I do love you if you're listening to this. At this point, I got to get inside. Have fun. Have a great weekend. This is Phil Ferrand. I have made it home.